I want to talk to you today about having a good life. How many want a good life? Raise your hand if you want a good life. Okay. I want to talk to you about having a good life and how to have a good life. My sermon title is very direct. A good life is simple. Just obey. A good life is simple. Just obey. I want to quickly turn to some passages that I think will help us just set the foundation. How many ever have in your life you got into some trouble? And when you look back at it, you recognize, oh my goodness, God tried to divert me from this trouble. Somebody say, he tried. Okay. But the reason why I got in this trouble wasn't because God didn't love me, care about me. Here's why it was, because I wasn't obedient to what God asked me to do. So what I want to tell you today, and what I want to remind you today, is a simple truth, but it is, listen, this is one of the most powerful truths that you'll ever hear preached. And so we're going to look at some passages that are going to remind us, oh yeah, I need to be obedient to God. Watch this, for me. Somebody say, for me. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I have it up here on the screens. You know what? If you want to follow us up on the screens, or you can turn to it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse 7. Look what God says. You shall diligently keep my commandments. Somebody say diligently. Okay. Now get your Italian fingers up. Come on. So I'm going to get your Italian fingers up and say diligently. Okay. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he commanded you. God is our God, and he has no problem commanding us to do something. But he won't force you to do something. Notice it doesn't say his statutes, which he forces you to do. He doesn't force you to do it. The Israelites, the fathers, did not go into the promised land. Not because he didn't want them to go, but because they continued to rebel, they continued to be disobedient, they continued to not put their trust in God. This is a good point, and it's not even one of my points, but write this down. Being obedient is trusting in God. Being obedient is trusting in God. And they didn't trust in God. And so because they didn't trust in God, they weren't obedient. All the ites, the Hittites and the Sadducites and the Jebusites and the Perizzites and all the ites. You know what? All the ites intimidated them. And Caleb and Joshua were like, guys, God promised to do this. We got that. Understand, God is right. And when we serve him, when we are obedient to him, whatever it is, in your marriages, do what God said. Serve God. Yeah, but this makes me mad, and he makes me mad, and she makes me mad, and they, and I, all this stuff. Just knock it off. Just be obedient in your marriage. Amen. It will always go good for you to be obedient to God. Good life, it's simple. Good choices. good choices. You say, but yeah, but Pastor, there was some stuff that happened in my life, and it didn't even have to do with me. Well, look at your life. Analyze your life. You should. Many of the messes you got in were because of you. But even if you got into messes that weren't because of you, you choose how you're going to react to those situations. Does that make sense? See, sometimes we're in our mess because of bad choices that we've made. Sometimes we're in our situations because of bad choices that other people made, but we start crying in our Cheerios, start blaming God, start getting upset, and guess what? You're stuck. But they ran me off the road. I wouldn't even do anything. They ran me off the road. Okay, well, go walk 8 miles, get some snow tires, you know what, come back, put them on, and drive away. Do you understand? I mean, maybe that's not a perfect analogy, but what I'm saying, listen, what are you going to do? There's situations, and they, Pastor, but I got stuff and it wouldn't have to do with me. Okay, well, your attitude has to do with you. I said it last week. Life is 10% what happens to you, 90% how you react to what happens to you. Okay, let's go back to the passage. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testaments, you know what, and his statutes, which he commanded you. He doesn't force you, he commanded you. Verse 18, and you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Oh, wow, let's park it there for a bit. Amen. Notice what it doesn't say. How many know we learn some stuff looking at what it doesn't say sometimes? Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say in your sight. Look at your neighbor and say, God is smarter than you. Look at your other neighbor. Tell your other neighbor the same thing. God is smarter than you too. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Yeah, but the politicians say that we can do this. Well, guys, they don't know. Listen, there is a higher standard that we have to walk in. Amen? All eyes up here. They might allow you to do this, but if you do this, you're going to have those consequences. I don't want to follow them because they jump off a cliff. Like my mama used to say, oh, well, Johnny's doing it. Well, if Johnny jumped off a cliff, would you follow them? Yeah, you learned this because I taught you to this. You know what? Usually the answer is yes. That's exactly what I would do. I'm telling you, I don't care how low the politicians set the bar. God didn't change his mind because of something that happened in California. His standard is still up here or in Washington, D.C. or anywhere. Don't listen. Give no place to the devil. And here's the good news. If you allow their lowering the standard of righteousness, if you justify that and that's okay, then the problem is that's where you're going to live. But if you keep that good choices, good life, you keep that bar where it should be, then you're going to walk in the blessings. It's in the sight of the Lord that it might, here's what I want you to catch, watch this, that it might be well for who? For you. This is a message for you to live a good life. You want to live a good life? Be obedient to what God asks you to do. And that you might go in and possess the good land. Listen, for us, what does the good land represent? There's a land flowing with milk and honey for us too. And granted, it's not the same land that was promised to the Israelites. But God has got promises that he's promised to us that it does apply. That if we will be obedient to do what he asks us to do what is right in his eyes, then we are going to walk in the blessings of God in the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Well, how come they didn't walk in that land? Because they wouldn't put their trust in God. It's amazing. Listen to me. It's amazing how many passages. Here, let me give you a couple. It's amazing how many passages tie obedience to reward. See, we just want God to bless us. God says, yes, I'll bless you. Be obedient to it. That's what he's saying here. It says, listen, you do what I tell you to do, and there's going to be a land, and you're going to walk into that land, and you're going to be victorious. Perfect peace God gives to those, to everyone. Look at your neighbor, son, not everyone. To those whose mind is set or stayed on the Lord. Is that not right? See, connecting the dots. You can change the sermon title if you want to connect the dots. That would be a good sermon title. Connect the dots. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it might be well with you, that you might go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to the fathers, to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. Now go down to verse 24. And the Lord commanded us to observe all his statutes, to fear the Lord, watch this, for our good always, for your good always. Why did he command you to be obedient to him? For who? For your good. That's why he did it. He did it for us. When you're obedient to God. Listen, gone are the days. Everybody say, gone are the days. Of, you know what, I have to go to church. You know, I would go to swap, but I have to go to church. Oh, I have to tithe. Oh, I have to forgive. No, you could do whatever you want to do. Amen. You forgive that you might be forgiven. Amen. Amen. We get to go to church. We get to tithe. We get to be part. We get to be in the family of God. You don't have to do anything you want. We've got to change our mentality from a have to we get to. Again, and the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. Everybody say always. Always. Let's say always five times. Say it with me. Always, 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 always. Here's why I want to emphasize that. Because there'll be sometimes your thinking is wrong. And God will tell you to do something. You're thinking, oh, what if I do that? And you get in the negative. If I do that, this negative thing's going to happen. No, 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 no. Wrong thinking. Jesus said always. It is always. It is always. There's things. Listen, there's times that you have to be obedient to God, and it will be everything you can do to tell your mind to shutteth thou upeth. It is counterintuitive. It doesn't make sense to you. How many know that when the Israelites were going through the Red Sea, that might have been a frightening experience? To say, how can I do this? What if? I mean, this water is being held up. How many know it's counterintuitive to walk through a sea that's dry knowing that there's this water being held up? I mean, what are you going to think? What if it comes down? Well, that's a great analogy, because here's what happens. That's what we think, and so we stay there. And our enemy comes and he sears us through. When, watch this, when if you would trust in the Lord, supernaturally trust in the Lord, this counterintuitive that God is going to continue to hold this up, but I trust that he knows best for me, that he loves me, and so I'm going to walk through this. And guess what? All those people that went through, guess what happened to them? And they're walking in the blessings of God. Yeah, they were getting ready to sing. That's right. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Let's stop there. Notice God doesn't set before us life and blessings. Did you notice that? He set before us, look what it says, life and what? Death, blessings what? And cursings. No. If God wanted it, it just happened. No, get rid of that Calvinist stinking thinking. Can somebody say amen? No. God set before us death and life, blessings and cursings. You know what? Notice in the garden, I mean, you could come. It's so simple to comment against Calvinism. Just read your Bible. Amen. Right in Genesis. You know what? God is giving people a choice. Death and life. You know, listen, if you want to continue to have a miserable life, to have a frustrating life, you can do that. But you don't have to, because God has set in front of you life and death. Notice what he also didn't do. He also didn't choose to be in front of you death and cursings. Well, you know, Pastor, my life is jacked up, and my parents are jacked up, and my dad was an alcoholic, and okay, I get it. But you still have great opportunities in front of you. Can God bless someone whose dad is an alcoholic? Yes. Of course he can. Yeah, but my dad, I grew up and my dad was in prison almost all my life. Oh, okay, all right, I get that. But can God still bless you? Yes. Does that make this scripture not true? I would say graciously to you, it doesn't. That God has put in front of you blessings and cursing also. Watch this. Therefore, choose life. Somebody say, choose life.
Choose life.
See, God doesn't want you to choose death. God wants you to choose life. Why? Look at this. So powerful. That both you and your descendants might live. If you're taking notes, my first point, I'm asking this. Why would anyone choose death? Here's why. Because Satan is a liar, and he deceives people. So, Pastor, what should I do? Choose life! He's lying to you. You feel torn. And you started, and I use this example a lot because so many people can relate to it. It's one of the areas where Satan comes in relationships. And you know you're in a relationship and you shouldn't be in that relationship. You're dating somebody who you shouldn't date. You know that. But you're like, well, yeah, but. No, Satan is a liar. Here, save yourself heartache. Save yourself some time. Save yourself, you know what, and just be obedient to what God asks you to do. It will always go well for you, always. So what you should do, choose life. Notice this. Notice what two things will happen according to this passage. Two things are going to happen if you choose life. Oh, first I want you to go Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds according to the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Next verse. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Bad choices, bad life. Good choices, good life, all day long. Two things are going to happen according to that scripture in Deuteronomy. You are going to live and your descendants are going to live. Let's talk about your descendants first. Parents, grandparents, listen to me very carefully. You can't choose for your kids. But what you can do is set them in a trajectory of the right direction. Amen. And you are responsible to do that. It is your responsibility. So listen, when you are choosing life, you're choosing not only for yourself, but you're choosing for your children. That now they have such an opportunity. We've got such a great opportunity. I mean, so many strong Christians that I run into, I'll talk to them and I'll find out, you know what their parents were? Their parents were strong Christians. Amen. It's a beautiful, it's a wonderful thing. I mean, I was so blessed to grow up in the household that I grew up in. You say, but Pastor, I didn't grow up in that. My parents didn't even serve the Lord. Well, amen. You can change the destiny and direction of your family forever. Amen. I mean, thank God that you came into the family of God. You can set the whole thing. It was going the wrong direction. They've done studies and they see what happens and they. You know, I wish I had the one example, but I remember reading it or hearing it one time, and they had this Christian father, and they tracked what happened in generation after generation, and then when they tracked the generation, just a whole legacy of people that made a difference. You know what? Senators and congressmen and doctors and nurses, and just a whole legacy of people who were making the difference, serving other people. And then they looked at the other side, and it was just a legacy of just the other. But Pastor, my dad was an alcoholic. My dad was in prison. My parents were, well, change it. And my parents, all, you know, they stayed together, but they argued all the time. Well, change it. Amen? I was so blessed. My dad and my mom, they took us to church all the time. My dad's, it was such a blessing because for my dad's memorial service, which I spoke at, I was listening to some of the tapes. And one of the tapes that I played was my dad preaching, and he was talking about he and my mom would raised us in church, and we went to church on Sunday and Wednesday. That's just what we did. And he said, my kids loved church. I'm gonna tell you, I love church. You know the truth is, my dad loved church. This stuff rubs off, guys. this stuff rubs off. I like in the story he told, he said, I can only remember a couple times having to, you know what, rouse my kids up from church. Usually I just get them up and hop right up and go to church. He said one time, and he said, I think it was Drew, he said. But listen to what he testified. He said, it was amazing what a glass of water did. Do you see that? Do you see his, watch this, do you see, that's not an option. Make it not be an option to be obedient to God. Why? Because people are watching. Little people are watching. And little people are watching. Little people are watching. And you think, you know, you think they're not listening to you. Oh, they're listening to you, but listen to me. But more than listening to you, they're watching you. They're watching you. But it's not only for your descendants, it's for you. Not just for your kids. Come to church for you. Walk in forgiveness for you. Become a tither for you. Amen? It's you... The smartest thing that you ever do is be obedient to God, because God is so smart. Two things. God is so smart and he's so in love with you. He's got the best plan for you. He loves you so much. Number three, you can be a vessel of honor. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, what was 2? Oh, 2 was notice. Sorry. 2 was notice what happens when you make good choices. Notice what happens when you make good choice. Number one, you know what? Your kids live a better life. Number two, you're going to live a better life. Oh, I like the structure, huh? That's good. All right. Now, number three. You can be a vessel of honor. Look at your neighbor and say, you can be a vessel of honor. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 20. But in a great house there is not only vessels of gold and silver, but vessels of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Next verse. Yeah, let me go back. Some of honor, some of dishonor. I want you to notice who's going to choose what vessel you are. God's not going to choose what vessel you are. Look at your neighbor and say, God doesn't choose for you. Look at this next verse. Look at this next verse. Next verse. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor. You know what I like about this? Therefore, if anyone. Listen, today can be the first day of the rest of your life. Today, you can make a decision. I remember when I was in the grocery store in Newport Beach, and there was a young man. And I worked in the produce department, and the department head in the produce department, he went on vacation. So when he left, there was a young man who came in. And I remember when that young man came in, he was a Christian man, a man of honor, and I remember feeling the anointing when he came in the room. I remember just thinking, man, this guy is the man. I remember thinking that. What was he? He was a vessel of honor. You know what? A vessel of honor, you know what? A vessel of honor honors his wife, whether she's around or not. Amen. A vessel of honor is generous. A vessel of honor walks in forgiveness. Whether people deserve it or whether people don't, they give them. How many like getting what you don't deserve? You give mercy. That's a vessel of honor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master's, prepared for every good work. Listen, that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to become a vessel of honor that you can be used of God. God has a lot of work to do. The Bible says we're only going to have a little time to work. The night is coming. When the night comes, we won't be able to work anymore. Listen, you're only going to have these kids so long. They're only going to be 3 so long. They're only going to be 4 so long. They're only going to be 8 so long. They're only going to be, you know what, and even, listen, even if your kids are older, even if they're 15 and 19 and 28 or whatever, however the ages they are, listen, you can still be an example to them. Amen. They're still watching you. We can be a vessel of honor. Next verse, watch this. Flee youthful lusts. Watch this. This is relating to the verse before. What do vessels of honor do? Here's what they do. They're obedient. They flee youthful lust. But they pursue righteousness. They're not. Watch this. Watch this. All eyes up here, for you get it. They're not going in the wrong direction. They're going in the right direction. They're not going after the junk. They're going after righteousness. Do you see that? Who's that? That's a vessel of honor. That's someone who's obedient to do what God's asking them to do. You know what? They walk in faith. They walk in love. They walk in peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. God, I want to be obedient to you. Next verse. Is there a next verse? Yes. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And it goes on and on. Here's my point. My point is vessels of honor are obedient to do what God asks them to do. How come God used Oral Roberts like he used Oral Roberts? Can I tell you why? Because Oral Roberts was obedient to do what Oral Roberts, God asked him to do. How come God used Catherine Kuhlman or of course, my favorite, Amy Semple? How come God used people like that? You look around this church. How come God is using people radically in a crazy way? Here's how come. Because they're obedient to do what God's asked them to do. Amen. It was a story I heard recently, and it was a young man, and he went to church one day, and he felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to give something to this young lady. And he's kind of minding his own business, but he can't let go of this thought to give this young lady something. And he don't know her. He's thinking, God, that's going to be weird. And I don't, you know what I mean? But he says the Holy Spirit just continues to encourage him. I want you to give her something. I want you to give her something. Finally. Everybody say finally. Finally. Can I make this point? Obedience to God shouldn't be a finally. Does God have to, you know what I mean? Can we just have a pure heart to say, God, I just want to be obedient to what you ask me to do. He finally, you know what? And then he thinks, well, I'm going to give her. He only has $5, which he thinks. And let me tell you about Satan. Satan's a liar all day long. He'll come up with 50 million excuses why you shouldn't do what God's telling you to do. And you can get off on any of those off ramps if you want. If you want. He only had $5. He thought, God, I don't want to give her $5. That's so embarrassing. $5, what's $5 do? $5, really? Finally, he just says, ma'am, I know I don't know you. I just sense that the Holy Spirit, God is asking me to give you this $5. She just starts crying. She said, you know what? I didn't even have money for gas today except to get to church. But God told me, get there. Don't worry about it. I'll get you home. See, Isaiah says, if we're willing and obedient, we'll eat the fat of the land. Let me tell you another story. It's in the Old Testament, and the people are being released. The people are being released. I want you to think, you put yourself in these shoes. And the people are being released, and God tells, you know what, the Israelite women to look over their fences and ask their neighbors for, here's what he says, for their gold and their silver and their, and one version says, and their fine clothes. Don't give me none of the Kmart stuff. Just give me the, listen, if you got Kmart on, you know what, wear it in style. I do. Amen. But all I'm saying is, you know what, give me your gold, give me your silver. I don't want your worn out couch. I want your gold, silver, and I want your fine clothes. I wonder how many women were embarrassed to do that. The Bible doesn't tell us, doesn't give us indication that, and I want to be clear, I want to be theologically correct, hermeneutically correct. The Bible doesn't give us any indication that there was people who didn't do it. Here's all I'm saying. Would have you done that? So, let me tell you another story. You want to hear another story? You've heard this story before, but I'm going to connect two stories, and I want you to put it together. We're at a pastor's breakfast. You know what? The city had invited the pastors together, and we got all these pastors here. You know what? And the pastor from a small little church down the street, and Tamara's sitting next to him. I'm sitting next to the pastor of another church. I'm talking to him. Pastor Tamara's talking to this other pastor. But we're right next to each other. She's talking to this guy. I'm here. I'm talking to this guy. And Tamara says to this pastor, he asked her, hey, how's it going? And she says, it's going well. She says, what's going on at your church? And she says, well, we're raising money. We're going to get rid of the pews. They're dated. They're very old. We have to reupholster them. So instead, we're just going to buy chairs because then we can stack the chairs and do all kinds of stuff. It's just better, more modern. We can put more people in the church too. So he says, wow, that sounds like a good idea. And then the Holy Spirit tells Pastor Tamara, ask him, if they would like to give any money into our fund. See, listen, you and listen, and it's not going to be any different for you. Just be obedient. You're going to have a good life. Just be obedient. You're going to have a good life. So what did she do? She was like, And she says, asked him, hey, maybe you guys, you know, have a building fund, or maybe you guys have a benevolence fund or something, a missionary fund. Maybe you'd like to donate some of your money into our fund. And she says she could feel me twist around like, hey, sweetie, if you're watching this, hi. Tamara's at home with her mom today, taking care of her. But listen, this is true. You know what I was thinking at that time? I was thinking, I know my wife, and I know, bless God. There was a time I would have turned and glared at her. But I had learned some things at that time. And here's what I was thinking. I was thinking, oh, my goodness, God is doing something here. God is doing something here. And so what happened? Well, let me tell you what happened. What happened was that that guy said, no, we don't, we can't do that. We won't do that. But maybe I could connect you with somebody who could, who's somebody who would. And you know what? We wrote that person a letter in less than 1 month. In less than 1 month, we had a check for about $19,000. And the chairs that you're sitting on today are because, see, watch this, you and your descendants. Not that you are Tamara and I's physical descendants, but we are your spiritual parents. Here's all I'm saying. Listen, your blessings, you know, when you're obedient to God, it not only will bless you, it will bless other people around you. I'm just saying, how many of those women thought, oh, I'm not going to ask them for gold? And you know what they did with that gold and silver? You know what they were told to do with that? They were told to put, do you guys know what they were told to do with that? Here's what they were told to do. They were told to give that to their kids. What's that about? Here, let me tell you what that's about. That's about the blessing of the Lord that your kids, can you imagine these kids? One day they're slaves and their parents are slaves. The next day they're free with all the gold of Egypt around their necks. Let me tell you what. Let me tell you, Christians. God has an incredible heritage for you and your kids if you will just be obedient. Incredible. So parents, you just be obedient to do what God asks you to do. You are putting, you know what you're doing? You're putting gold and silver and fine clothes. You're clothing your kids with the finest when you're obedient to do what God asks you to do. Are you learning something today? Obedience is simple. Obedience is simple. Just do what God, what he says. Remember in, turn to 1 Kings. I got it up here on the screen. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 13. I'm going to be obedient to what God, we ain't going to turn to that. Angel, come on up, if you would. Play something pretty. I just want you to receive. Understand that God wants you to walk in the blessings. He wants you and your family. He wants them completely blessed. He wants your marriages blessed. He wants your kids blessed. He wants your grandkids blessed. He can restore. Listen, he wants to restore your body to health. You know what? He can get you out of debt. Come on over to my house. I'm not saying that there's not housers. I'm not saying that there's not houses nicer than mine. What I'm saying is, man, I am blessed, man of God. And you know what? And you can look and you can make judgments. You know, I was reading the other day of someone. If I told you his name, every single one of you would know his name. He's criticized to the max. I know no other preacher is criticized more than this guy is. And one of the reasons he's criticized so much is because, you know what? He is so wealthy. You know what I found out yesterday? You know what? Where most of his wealth came from. First of all, you know how much he takes from his church? You know how much salary he takes from his church? He takes nothing. Nothing. You know what? You get on the internet and you can find out It's one of the main things right on the internet. If you Google his name, one of the main things you're going to find out is how much money he has, what his net worth is. Well, can I tell you what? Keep on reading. Keep on looking. Keep on digging. Because you know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out that he became very rich before he ever was a pastor. And he made it from investments that he made. You know what else you're going to find out? That he doesn't take a salary from his church, but that he is the number one giver in his church. And this is a church that got some, just because size, they got some people who got some money. Number one giver. It's weird. I never see that. I never see them saying about that. All I'm telling you is, you know what? Is God is a blesser of those who diligently seek him. So you be careful with your judgments. This person like that, that person. Oh, I know. We don't know nothing. But we make judgments like the Bible says God judges from the heart. Man judges from the outward appearance. Amen. Let me tell you why I live in such a nice house. Because I bought that house when I worked in the grocery store. That's a testimony of God. Why? Because God told me to buy some tapes way back in the day. Buy tapes. Learn about investing in the stock market. And I got these tapes, and I didn't just get these tapes. I called my wife. I said, hey, honey, I'm going to get these tapes. You know what? And what do you think? She said, yeah, I hear the Holy Spirit saying the same thing. We got the tapes, and I listened to the tapes, and I was all ready. And you know what? And what do you do? I did nothing. I didn't invest in anything. Why? Because every time I'd go to think, oh, this would be good, Holy Spirit said, no, nope, nope, not yet, not yet, nope, 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 nope. I'm like, I'm anxious. I'm like, Holy Spirit, what's up? Why did I get these tapes? I'm not going to invest in anything. See, we have to be obedient to what God is telling us to do. God knows. Some guys come over to our house. Again, feel the Holy Spirit says, ask them. They said, oh, we know a good stock. They wrote it down, and they turned it around, said, buy as much of that as you can. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, that's what I was waiting for. And I asked my wife, and she said, that's absolutely, that's what I think too. What'd you do? We bought as much of that stock as we could. That's why we're living in the house that we live in. I mean, that's not the only thing, but that's mainly the main thing. He said, but God, no, listen. Those scriptures apply to me and they apply to you. God is not a respecter of persons. Amen. And if you will start to be willing and obedient to run your life the way God tells you to run your life, listen, I'm not saying it's not going to cost you something. What I'm saying is it's going to cost you so much more to continue to run your life the way you want to run it. Does that make sense? It is cheap to be obedient to God. It's valuable. You're not going to find any more value. So if you want to say, with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you're not even in the family of God. You want to come into the family of God. Before I pray for other people who want to get, you know what, more obedient to God, maybe you're not even in the family of God. You say, I want to become a Christian today. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Yes, yes. Who else? Yes, yes. Who else? Good, good, good. You can put your hands down. Now, we're going to say this prayer. And when I say that prayer, I want you to repeat it after me. And what's going to happen is God is going to come in your life and he's going to start changing you from the inside out. Everybody say this with me if you're already saved to help these other people out. Say, God, come into my life. Change me from the inside out. I repent of all my stupid choices. But I choose you today. Jesus, come in my heart. I want to make you my Lord. I'm obedient to you now. In Jesus' name. Now, for others, and you feel like you're already in the family of God, but you feel like, man, you've made way too many decisions that have been based on what you think, not based on the Word, not based on the Spirit. God is speaking to you today. I want you to raise your hands quickly, all over, yes, all over, yes. Repeat this after me. God, thank you for this message today. Thank you for speaking to me today. I see some things that I haven't seen. And I want to be obedient to you. I know you love me. I know the best life is to be obedient to you. Forgive me for running my own life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.